Would you like to hear about how things, conditions were when we first started?
Yes.
About 1923 and 1924?
Yeah.
Well, before being a ferry operator, of course, we were in the transportation business with a small gas boat since about 1923. It was a lot harder then because we didn't have any landings on Hornby Island that were suitable to bring small boats into. And we had to unload everything on the into rowboats and then onto the beach and then carry them up to a high water mark to the roads. So it entailed a lot of work. Eventually, the government built a small jetty at Point Phipps here, and we were able to get into that at high water, which made it a lot easier. Eventually, they enlarged that so that we could get in at most of the tide, which made it easier yet.
What kind of a boat were you operating then?
Just a small gas boat, about a 10-ton vessel. Of course, we had several vessels for that purpose. You know, we kept increasing the size as we needed them.
Who was this, you and your brothers and dad, or?
Well, my dad and I first started it. Actually, I took over from him about 1930. And I built quite a few of the boats myself until 1953, when I built the first ferry, that is a car ferry that would take cars. And we ran that from Gravelly Bay to Shingle Spit on a regular basis. We were given a small subsidy from the government to operate it every day.
Mm-hmm. How many times a day did it run?
Originally, we started with 5 trips a day, but it soon increased until we ended up with about 12 trips a day, like we're running now.
What was the subsidy that the government gave you? How much did they give you?
The first year, it was $5,000 for 1 year, which just about paid for the gas and probably a small insurance. Then they increased it, doubled that the next year, and it kept on increasing every year. The last year I ran was almost $30,000.
When you first started out with that $5,000 subsidy, what were you charging to take people across?
10 cents a passenger and 50 cents a car.
So what do you reckon that you made in that year, that first year?
I'd make anything. I mean, if I do any reckoning about that, I reckon about trying to figure out how much I lost.
Did you have people helping you on the boat, on the ferry?
Oh, yes, I had to have a deckhand all the time. The law requires that. Well, you couldn't operate it without it anyway.
So you had to pay a salary?
Yes. I were, fortunately, as one of the family, so they had to wait quite a long time for their salary. However, that was the only way we could get started. If we wouldn't have accepted a small subsidy from the government, at that time we wouldn't have got a ferry going at all.
Was there really an urgent need for a ferry then?
Oh, there was at that time, because there was all the other transportation to the island had collapsed, and there just wasn't anything moving at all.
What had been the other transportation before your ferry?
Well, there'd been steamers calling once a week. And, of course, as I was saying before, we were hauling freight to Courtenay. And some passengers. That was a very unsatisfactory service because it's too long a trip and in the open waters, and it was too rough for most people.
Who didn't have sea legs or sea stomachs.
that's right.
How long was that trip to Courtenay? How long did it take you to go
about
there?
About 2 hours and a half.
Mm-hmm. Did you transport people then, too?
Yes.
what would they go in for shopping, or why would they be going in?
Oh, shopping, see the doctors, see the dentist, you know, general business people have to go to town for mm-hmm. every so often.
How long did you run that? You ran that for 20 years, I guess, eh?
About 20 years. From 1923 till about 1953, so it's more than 20.
30.
Closer to 30 years. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Well, what finally made you decide to build a ferry here?
Well, it was just the demand for that type of transportation, really. It was the only answer because it's the type of transportation that you could build, increase as the demand increased. You know, you could build a larger vessel quite easily, and you could take more trips. You could handle a lot of traffic quite simply, whereas to increase the trips to Courtney would have been too expensive. I mean, you'd have had to go into a large steamer, and it's still not the answer to our transportation need.
You don't think a ferry is?
No, I meant the freight and passenger boat from here to Courtney. I mean, a service that you could only use once a day, say, leave here in the morning and go to Courtney and then come back in the evening, that wouldn't serve the people who are coming here today, like with a you know, the property owners we have, lot owners, and so most things like that. You need a ferry service because people can go back and forth all day long.
Mm-hmm. Where did you get your plans for the first ferry?
Well, I thought them out myself, mostly. Of course, I had to get the plans drawn by a marine architect, because they have to be passed by Ottawa before you can commence to build a boat for passenger use.
And how many cars did it take?
Two. Or three, if they were small ones.
Was it much smaller than the ferry that has just gone out of service now?
Oh, yes. This one takes 7 cars, you see, and 8 cars, where this one takes 2 or 3.
What was the feeling of the people on the island when it was announced that you were going to build and operate this ferry service?
Oh, I think they were quite pleased. It made a tremendous difference to the way people lived. The ability to get in your car, and just sitting there until you were wherever you were going, whether it was Courtney or Vancouver, really made a lot of difference.
In what sort of way? How did it affect the people?
So easy, for one thing. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, it was quite an effort to get out and get in a small boat and get to Vancouver Island when you didn't have a car with you. And you couldn't hitchhike very easily because there was no traffic going the way you were going.
Well, was there a ferry service between Denman Island and Vancouver Island then?
Yes.
There was.
Yeah. There was a small tugboat and a 3-car barge. They had that going for about 30 years, I guess.
Hmm. Well, were there visible changes taking place then on Hornby when you put the ferry on? Could you see a visible difference, like now, today, with this newer ferry? You know, you can see the traffic increasing so tremendously. I wonder if there was a similar thing happening then.
There didn't seem to be too much difference. There was changes in the living pattern of the island, but I don't think the ferry had all to do with it.
What sort of changes were those?
Well, before the war years, the largest part of the income from the island was from farming. In fact, this service that we ran to Courtney, it was actually known as the cream boat, meaning that was the basic freight that we hauled were cans of cream, you see, that people got from milking their cows and running the milk through the separators and putting in the cans. And so that that went out when the timber market got better and they started buying the type of timber that, that we had here. It was a lower grade of timber on account of the strong winds we get. And until about 1940 or so, there was very little sale for this type of timber. But about that time, the timber got scarce, and they started buying it. So it was easier for a person to make a living by stopping milking his cows and letting them, or I should say, turning, going to beef and work in the logging camps. And because it was an island and was so, more or less isolated, they got isolation wages, as they called in those days, which was a little more than they would get if they were living near the logging camps. And so they really did quite well. However, farming went into a decline then and has never recuperated. Another thing we used to grow at that time was a lot of tomatoes. The Hornby Island is famous for its high-quality tomatoes, but no one's growing them anymore.
Mm-hmm. So your life really has always been connected with the sea then, has it?
Quite a lot, yes. Well, I've done other work, but only for short times. I've worked in logging camps. Of course, we were raised in a logging camp. But I would say that the biggest part of my life has been connected with the sea.
Did you start out fishing, was that?
Yes. I started out fishing with a rowboat, actually.
Where?
Around Hornby Island. That's how we first seen Hornby Island, was because it was one of the best places to fish.
When was that? What year was that?
1919 and 1920.
What were you getting then? What kind of fish?
Coho, the same as we get now. Mm-hmm. And spring salmon.
And after the two-car ferry was built, how long did you run that for?
Until about 53. And I built the six-car ferry, which I ran until last year. That's 1971. I quit some about middle of October last year. Then the government took over and bought the new one.
Mm-hmm.
That's soon to be replaced, of course, by a larger one.
How long did you run the two-car ferry then? Was it only a couple of years?
No, 8 years.
8 years. Mm. Oh, I've got my dates mixed up then. When did you put the two-car ferry on? And when did it come off?
1953. And I started building the other one in 1961. I said 53, didn't I? Mm-hmm. That's me that got the dates mixed again.
Had the traffic increased so much by 61 that it was necessary for you to build a bigger one?
Yes, it was. It was getting impossible to handle it with a two-car ferry. We'd only handle it about 50 or 60 a day. 50 or 60 cars a day. And we were getting that in the summertime nearly all the time. Now the traffic is up to about from 150 to 200 cars a day all summer long, you see, so it would just been absolutely impossible to have handled that.
Mm-hmm. Did the government give you any help when you were building the six-car ferry, financial help?
No, that not only the subsidy that I was getting, but not like a grant, I mean, to build the ferry with.
How much did it cost you to build that ferry?
Oh, about $50,000.
Crikey, where did you get that money?
Just borrowed it. Wasn't easy to do at times.
Did you get support from the island people? Financial support?
Now, that's a hard question to answer, because I did get some of the money from our local credit union, which, of course, was supported by the island people. So I guess you would say that I did. However, that wasn't large enough to accommodate, you know, or to give me all the money I needed, so I had to go elsewhere.
That's an enormous undertaking.
Well, it seemed like at the time.
Did you ever get your money back?
Oh, yeah. I got it back, but that's all.
Did you feel nervous about doing it? About putting all that money into,
oh, yes,
into a boat?
Oh, yes, naturally. I hate being in debt. However, that's the only way you can get ahead sometime.
Do you think the island people knew how much it was going to be?
Oh, very few do. Unless people have been in business, most people who earn their living by working really don't understand business very much, or don't understand how much it costs to do these things. They only see the amount of money that you take in, or that is to say, in a case like this, they know how much your subsidy is, because that's public knowledge, and that seems like a tremendous amount of money to them, but they don't see the expense attached to the running a business like that.
Mm-hmm. Is it an expensive business running that ferry?
Yes, it is. Especially nowadays with the high cost of wages and the like, nearly any breakdown we have, even with this ferry, it costs anywhere up to $2,000 just for some, what seems like a simple breakdown that only, you know, lasts for a day or two.
Well, what happened in the old days when there was only you and a deckhand when you had breakdowns?
Well, we'd have to do the work ourselves. Of course, we were very fortunate that we had a man on the island, that is Mr. Fowler, who was a first-class machinist and mechanic, and he had a lathe set up so that a lot of the breakdowns we had, we were able to get them repaired here quite rapidly, because he took an interest in it. If we had a breakdown, all I had to do was phone him and tell him that I was coming with such and such a piece of machinery, and of course he dropped everything and went to work right away, and sometime we'd be going in 2-3 hours, which if we didn't, if he wouldn't have been here, could have easily been 2-3 days if, mm-hmm, we'd had to take this machinery away. Because,
mm-hmm,
when the ferry was broken down, it wasn't easy to take anything away. You couldn't pop it in the car, the car to a machine shop. But then even if you did get to a machine shop, they would probably have 2-3 jobs ahead of you, and you may have to wait a day or two,
mm-hmm,
to get the same thing done.
Mm-hmm.
Here we got it done right away.
I didn't realize that Bill did those sort of things.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's a tremendous help to us and to the people of Hornby Island, because they had their service going quite steady.
Well,
sometimes we'd work all night long, you know, and the public wasn't even aware of the fact that the ferry wasn't operating during the night,
mm-hmm,
or couldn't have been.
Well, you were a mechanic too then, as
yes,
well.
Yes, had to be just about everything to keep a ferry running in those days.
How much do you reckon you made your salary in those days?
I didn't make a salary. We just made enough to keep ourselves in clothes and food. And the rest all went into the mortgage.
That's pretty scary.
Yes.
Did you feel burdened, you know, by the large,
well,
mortgage?
It's quite a load to carry, to know that you're thousands of dollars in debt. The only thing is you just work from day to day and know that every day it's a little less, and just reconcile yourself to the fact that you're going to be there for a few years doing the same thing. Eventually the time comes when it's over. I guess I better answer that phone. Okay.
What made the government decide that there should be a new ferry here when they took over your old ferry and put on the new one?
Well, actually, about 3 years ago, when the time came to renew my contract, I didn't renew it. That is, I wrote them a letter and told them that I wouldn't retender because I realized my vessel was inadequate for the job, and I would carry on from a year-to-year basis until they could come up with something better. And they accepted that proposition. So that's why it's the last 3 years I was only operating, without a contract. It took them that long to find something to replace it with.
And then this ferry that is operating now isn't adequate, it seems, because there's another newer one coming.
I think the idea is that they decided they should put something on that would be big enough to be so that they won't be bothered with the inadequate ferries for the next 15 or 20 years. It'll probably be larger than they need for the first few years. But it won't be long before it'll be adequate, and I suppose eventually inadequate. Seems to be the pattern that these ferries all go through.
Do you think 15 years, it'll be that long before it becomes inadequate? The growth rate here seems so incredible.
Well, that's hard to say. Of course, there's a limit to the growth on an island, and the property that is for sale is... has been just about all bought up now, and so there won't be too much increase in growth. However, there'll still be people who like to come here to the beaches, I suppose. They make a demand for service. That doesn't last very long, though, just for about 2 months in the summer.
Well, one of the problems here, traveling between Hornby and Denman, seemed to be the weather sometimes in the wintertime when the bad storms and wind came. And so the ferry wasn't able to run sometimes. Do you think that with this bigger ferry, the service will be better, that it will be able to run through every kind of weather?
Oh, yes. It should be almost 100% service. It will be a tremendous help that way. Mm-hmm. I think that is one of the main advantages that... people living on the island will gain from it, because actually, even with my ferry, the six-car ferry, after from the middle of June to, say, after Labor Day, it was very, very seldom that we couldn't handle the traffic or that someone would be left behind, that there'd be a few days when we couldn't travel on account of the wind. And, of course, with the larger ferry, they should be able to run any time. Mm-hmm. Well, of course, there's always the odd hurricane once in a while that comes. But, that doesn't happen too often.
What are the hazards of being a ferry captain on this particular run?
Well, up until now, of course, it's been a hazardous run because we've had exposed landings and... little cement landings, and there's been nothing to keep the vessel from getting blown sideways on the rocks, except the seal of the master. Where we go in now, if I don't know whether you'd notice it, I suppose when you're riding, you don't see anything except the little strip of concrete that you've got around over, but actually there's rocks on both sides of you, and if... the person just loses control of the vessel for a few minutes. The rocks are only 15 feet or 20 feet either side, and when there's a swell running, the vessel can be on there in just a few moments. You see, that can't happen with the new landings they've building now, that they have built for the bigger ferry, out in deep water and long rows of dolphins, so that when you're getting close to them, there's no way you can get wrecked unless you deliberately do something very wrong.
Well, how did you learn how to do it? How did you learn how to be a ferry captain?
Well, when you've been to sea all your life, I suppose it's just automatic that you learn to do these things.
Well, I understand that some of the people who have been considering the job here think that it's, you know, kind of a tough job, so they don't really want to take it. And presumably these are men who know the sea too.
Yes, they're the men that when they came, they come and look at the job, instead of seeing the narrow strip of concrete that, like you would as a driver, you've got to drive on, to look on the both sides and to see the rocks right under the side of the boat and realize that there's a wind blowing, they can get wrecked quite easily. They don't like that.
Well, how is it that you have a feeling for it?
I don't know. I just had to have a feeling for it, I guess. When I first landed, when I first started to run the ferry, we had to run without any landings at all, just from beach to beach, except for a little bit of concrete so the cars wouldn't bog down. And that was much more difficult than it is now either, too, because there was nothing to stop you from getting blown around sideways right onto the beach.
How did you manage? Did you ever get blown onto the beach?
No, not while landing. I got blown on the beach with the storms dragging the anchor of the vessel onto the beach, not while operating it.
Mm-hmm. I'm just going to stop now.